Brilliance Audio presents The Last Queen of England by Steve Robinson. Performed by Simon Vance. Jefferson Tate was in London, sitting on the pavement somewhere near Covent Garden, waiting for an ambulance to arrive. It was the middle of a wet Sunday afternoon in September, and the frightened faces that had previously scattered now formed into a concerned crowd around him, despite the rain that made the blood on his tan linen suit spread like dye. It was not his blood, but he would have traded places with the man in his arms in a heartbeat. Tate had very few friends, maybe only one true friend if he were honest with himself, and judging from the seemingly impossible amount of blood Marcus Brown was losing, Tate was mournfully aware that unless help arrived soon, his friend was not going to make it. Jean was there too, no more than a blur in his periphery. Marcus had only just introduced them. 2 hours ago, they were sitting in a restaurant, enjoying a very British Sunday lunch, chatting and laughing over roast rib of beef and fine wine, as Tate got to know Jean and he and Marcus continued to play catch-up on all the years that had passed since they last saw each other. All Tate could think about now was the blood and his friend, and why anyone would want to shoot him.
"What were you working on, Marcus? Who did this?"
Right now, Tate had no idea, but he did know that some of the answers had to be back there in the restaurant. Threads of conversation still hanging in the air, yet fading rapidly now after the confusion that had followed. He knew he had to piece them back together again if he was going to make any sense of what had just happened. Rule's restaurant was lively when he and Marcus had arrived, each carrying a battered leather briefcase that seemed to compete in terms of whose looked the most tatty and travel-worn. Tate had flown in from Washington, D.C. 24 hours earlier to attend the International Genealogy Convention at London's O2 Arena, although his main reason for coming to London was to see Marcus. He wanted to congratulate his friend on his recent retirement from the National Archives, where Marcus had worked most of his life, and Tate wanted to thank him in person for all the support he'd given him over the years. It only occurred to him recently that he'd never really done that. Marcus was the only person who'd been there for him after his adoptive parents died, when his friend was a visiting professor of family history in America, and Tate, who was suddenly left alone and without any real sense of identity, had never been in greater need of direction. Rules was apparently Marcus Brown's only consideration when any kind of celebration was called for. "It wasn't cheap, but you get what you pay for," Marcus had said, and he'd insisted on "getting the check," as he put it, playfully mimicking Tate's American phrases as he often did. He'd also pointed out that the place had been going since 1798, and that it was the oldest restaurant in London, so they had to be doing something right. The restaurant decor was old-world cream and red, with red and gold carpet and mahogany chairs and tables hiding beneath starched linen. Sections of the ceiling were made up of domed glass panels, and the walls were a mosaic of framed caricatures and old photographs of famous patrons. The staff, in their white aprons, black blouson jackets and bow ties, conjured images of Paris, although Tate had never been there. He might have believed his friend's motives for bringing him to Rules were it not for the woman waiting for them at the cocktail bar. Marcus was quick with the introductions.
"This is my good friend, Professor Jean Summer."
She wore a black dress and patterned heels, and Tate thought she looked a little on the bony side, although he had to concede that next to him, most people did. Marcus leant in and kissed her hand.
"Jean was at a loose end this weekend, so I invited her along. You don't mind, do you?"
Tate just smiled.
"Jean's a historian, specializing in all things royal and London, aren't you, dear?" Marcus said. "Very handy to know. I'm sure you'll have plenty to chat about."
"Maybe not all things quite yet," Jean said, "but I like to think I'm getting there, wherever there is."
She gave a small laugh and held out her hand. Tate shook it. "JT," he said, holding on to his smile until it felt awkward. He put her in her late 30s. She had brown shoulder-length hair, and he thought her lipstick looked uncomfortably bright on her face. His initial impression was that she was trying too hard, and there was something about her that told him she'd left her glasses at home today. Her eyes looked pinched and unsettled, like her contact lenses were irritating her. As blind dates went, this was about as obvious a setup as there was.